Thank you, brother. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today here in person. Thank you. We're glad you're here. And then also online, we have a lot of people that worship with us still online, so we're grateful that you've joined us online also. We're glad that you are a part of our worship services today in person and also online. Before we jump into this message, Colossians chapter 2, we've been walking verse by verse through the book of Colossians, starting the first of the year. So we're Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 today, if you want to follow along in your Bible. If not, the verses will be behind me on the screen, so you can follow along that way. Before we get there, though, let me just remind you, Easter weekend, next weekend, our services, we'll have five services Easter weekend. We'll have our Good Friday service Friday night at 6 o'clock. I'll remind you that that service is different than the other four that we'll have the weekend. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that one also. The message will be different. We'll preach, we'll go to the cross. The songs will be different. We have Lance Brown, who is a painter, and he comes. He connects it with Scripture. So he's going to have his set up here on the platform. It's going to kind of tie things in with the message. And we'll have Lord's Supper. The first time really in a year that we've done the Lord's Supper. So hope you'll come. Now, we'll do the Lord's Supper differently. We're not passing the trays. We have prepackaged things that you'll get when you come to the worship center. So still, we'd be a little cautious there. So all of that on Good Friday. So we're looking forward to a great, really great Good Friday service. And then Saturday at 4, we'll have our Easter service. And then Sunday, 8, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. So I hope you'll make plans to join us. Not doing the helicopter dropping Easter eggs this year, as I said before, just because I feel it's a little bit too early. But I know in our preschool children, if your kids are over there, they will have Easter egg hunts and things like that going on. When their time there, okay? All right, let me mention one other thing before I jump into this. And this is something we've done before. And if you want to engage and do it, certainly great. Certainly you don't have to. We don't want to be legalistic about it. We're talking about legalism today in just a few minutes. But Wednesday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I want us to fast and pray. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., fast and pray for the weekend. I'm going to send out probably Tuesday, day before, some things to pray for. Just three or four main things that I want to encourage you to pray for. So those who want to participate in that, join me, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., fasting and praying. Now, without preaching the message on fasting, which I've done before, I always feel like I need to mention a few things, especially if you haven't done it before. So fasting, the purpose of fasting is to do without food. It can be some other things I'll mention in a minute. It's to do without food for the purpose of my full heart, mind, soul, focusing on God for that extended period of time. Now, it doesn't mean, you're praying the whole time. I mean, you're at work, you're doing things. But so for me, the idea is if I'm doing without food, then when I get hungry, literally, it's like a trigger. It reminds me why I'm hungry and what then to stop and to pray and to set my heart on God and to pray for these specific things for the weekend, the people to be saved, the God to be glorified. Everything points to Him, these specific things that I'm praying for. And that's what the fasting does, to do without so that you can, in greater ways, set your heart, your mind, and your prayers on and to God for that period of time that you're fasting. I used to think, when I first started fasting years ago, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I thought the goal was just to get to the finish line without food and still be surviving. I was dying about 4 o'clock. And I finally got to 6, and I just like, whoo, I made it. And then I realized I was really like, I wasn't getting the whole heart of what fasting's about. It isn't just doing without food to show how spiritual you may be. That's not the point of fasting, is you do without so that you can in greater ways focus on God, prayer, these specific things we're praying about towards for the weekend. So that's the heart of it, is not just to do with that. So food, now some people, especially medically, that you can't do without, food for an extended period of time, or it's dangerous if you fast. So I certainly don't want you to ignore that. You need to respect that. Okay, so again, you can fast from something else. It doesn't have to be food, You could fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Facebook. How about that? You all are going, no, I'll take the food. Yeah. It can be from TV. It can be from, it can be from a number of different things. However you feel led to do that, if it's not the food thing, something else that maybe you go, you know, that'd probably be healthy for me if I did without that. And then the times that you're leaning towards that, that's a reminder for you to pray. Why am I fasting? So I can pray, communing with God. So 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. if you want to join. I'll send something out, email on Tuesday. Probably post. We'll have our guy post something on Facebook so you can get the information and see it. Unless you're fasting from Facebook, then I guess I hope you get an email. So that was pretty funny. Come on now. So if you do, it's not, again, not something you have to do, but maybe you just want to go from 6 to 12, and that's, you know, your way. Or maybe you're not fasting, but you're praying throughout the day. Remind yourself, just join us in some way on Wednesday as we really all engage as a church family to pray towards the weekend that God would do some great things there. Good Friday, and also in those four services after Good Friday. Okay, vision statement number 8. So 8 weeks ago, I preached the vision for what I believe to be God's vision for Grace Point Church. And we have the overarching vision, which is to make a radical impact on the city of Denton with the gospel of Christ, so to advance the message of Christ, the gospel into the city. We do that by going deeper in our faith, wider in our influence, which is evangelism, discipleship. That includes ministry, different ways, whether it's Coats for the Cold, whether it's, you know, different ways that we minister, taking food, other things that we do. Ultimately, we're advancing the gospel. We pray for that in that way. That's the main thing. Now, underneath that, I preached 18 vision statements that day that support that main focus. Since that week, I've been giving you one a week that I preach just to remind you and to keep vision before you. So today, vision statement number 8, again, just to keep the vision idea of vision before you. Vision statement number 8, and all of these are on our website, by the way, if you missed and want to get more specifics of what I'm talking about. Vision statement number 8 is the vision that we, Grace Point Church, exist as a community of believers who live as a family. Talk about the family of God. The Grace Point, your family. Caring for one another, praying for one another, loving one another, and meeting the needs. That's the vision for Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, the first church. That's exactly what they did. So that's the vision for us. I think we continue to focus on that. That we're as a family and we take care of each other, encourage each other, pray for each other, and meet the needs of each other. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul's writing to them to encourage them. To make sure they're keeping the main thing. And that's what we've been talking about these last few weeks. Because if you don't keep the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus, you open yourself up, as we learned in the previous verses, your mind is to be taken captive and start to believe things that are not of God. They're of the world. And to lead you down the wrong path. And that's what's happening in some of these Colossians here. False teachers coming in and go, yeah, you know, what Paul preached about Christ is enough. That's not how it goes. It's not just Jesus. It's Jesus plus all these things. That was the false teaching coming in. And so he's writing to refute that by focusing on who Jesus is and who you and I are in Christ. That's kind of the summary, right? And so he continues that today as we look at verses Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. Now, I'm going to read 16 through 23, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to just give you some takeaways from these scripture passages. And actually, I'm going to give you one takeaway today. I just need to go ahead and share that. That's what happened in the first service, right? We have three. We only got to one, okay? So I know that's just shocking to you people. So but I'm going to read through them all these scripture passages, and then I'm going to go back. And there's one main central focus today. It's takeaway number one I want you to get. That's the other reason I just stopped after that first one, because I think that's enough. We'll see kind of where we land. But verse 16, so let me read through, and there's a lot here. It's kind of heady stuff, but we'll go back and take it apart, so stay with me on this. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions about food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. And here's where we're really going to dial in today. These are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ, not the shadows. He goes on verse 18, let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So I didn't get to it in the first service, but that's going to be key too, to connecting. I'm going to connect verse 19 with verse 17 in just a minute, or later in the message. Verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, which he already preached on that, he already spoke to that. Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? We talked about that, you know, that don't be swept away and captured by the way the world lives. And that's what they were doing. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, according to human precepts and teachings. Verse 23, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So one takeaway today, the main thing I want you to get, takeaway number one, if you're taking notes, don't be captured by the shadows. Don't be captured by the shadows. Now, if you're a note taker and it drives you crazy that I'm not going to finish the two and three fill-ins, I'm going to give them to you right now. Takeaway number two, which we'll get to probably in a few weeks, not next week because it's Easter, but God is the one who grows you, and that's important. It's not shadows. It's not rituals. It's God who grows you. Takeaway number two. And then takeaway number three, if you're filling in the blanks here, the battle will always be present. Spirit versus the flesh. So here's how this thing breaks out. If you're you know, note taker and, you know, my mind, I need to look at that text and I need to see how that thing breaks out to be able to grab a hold of it. Okay. So verse 16 and 17, which we're talking about today, is shadows and substance. That's what he's gonna really focus on. Shadows and substance. Verse 18 to 19, when we get there, he's gonna focus on selfishness versus godliness. And then verse 20 through 23, he's going to talk about this flesh versus the spirit. So that's how this thing all breaks out. We're just really going to do the first one, shadows versus substance today. And we'll pick up the next ones the week after Easter. So takeaway number one, don't be captured by the shadows. Look at verse 16 and 17. Now, before I read that again, look at the first word in verse 16, therefore. Okay, so now, when you're reading through, I know you get this, but let me just remind you, when you're studying, that word is there to connect what he's just written, what he's just spoken on. So to understand what he's saying right here, you need to remember what he was saying in the previous verses and what I preached on last week, which was he said, in summary, he's telling the Colossians, look, you are complete in Christ, period. That's what he's telling them. In the previous verses, I preached on it last week, we identify with Christ as death, burial, and resurrection. We are complete in Christ. We do not need Christ plus rules. We do not need Christ plus anything else. And Paul is saying that. The false teachers are saying, no, it's not just Jesus, man. You need more. And Paul is saying, no, you are fully complete in Christ. That's what he's saying. Now, with that in mind, okay, he's saying, you are complete in Christ. Verse 16, therefore, okay, because you're complete in Christ, therefore, let no one judge you, pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you're complete in Christ. Don't let these people come in and tell you that in order to be saved, it's Jesus plus you got to keep the law. That's what they were telling him. Don't let people come in and tell you that in order to be spiritual, it's Jesus plus all these rules and regulations. Don't let people tell you that. Don't let people say to you, well, it's not just Christ. You can't drink this. You can't touch that. You can't be a part of this. You have to keep these laws. And Paul is saying, no, you are complete in Christ. Those things do not save you. Those things do not make you more spiritual by doing those things. Your salvation is complete in Jesus. As one writer says it this way, the area of doing something to become more acceptable to God is a persuasive argument that can derail your faith and rob you of your true spirituality. So that's what was happening. The Colossian Christians were troubled by teachers who were slaves to the law. They were very legalistic. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute, legalism, without going too deep into it. Let's give me a broad stroke on legalism, because it was alive and well in Paul's day. It's alive and well in our day. And that's part of what he's talking about is legalism. So it's not on your outline and or on the screen, but just to give you a definition for the context of this teaching and our time together, legalism is a doctrinal position that emphasizes a system of rules and regulations for achieving salvation and spirituality. So it's saying that you have to follow these rules and these regulations to be saved and to be spiritual or to be mature. It's a problem in that day, and I think sometimes it can also be a problem today. Legalistic. Legalism wrenches the joy of the Lord from the Christian believer, and with the joy of the Lord goes his power for vital worship and vibrant service. So legalism says, do this so you can prove to others and to God that you're spiritual. Grace says, you just rest in him, fully confident of the truth that you are complete in Christ. So therefore, when we do things like come to church, when we do read our Bible, when we do pray and give these disciplines, we don't do them with a legalistic mindset. We do them out of a love for Christ. That's what motivates us. We don't do it to get favor with God. We already have that in Christ, is what he's saying here. So, we don't focus on the shadows because now we have Jesus, the substance. That's what verse 17 says. Don't focus on the shadows because we now have the substance. So let's talk about that for just a few minutes. And that's what they were doing. They were focusing on the shadows, the things that are pointing to Jesus. And Paul comes in and says, he's here. The substance is Jesus. So don't focus so much on the shadows. Don't be captured by the shadows. Now you have the substance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to this. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things. The law, that's what they were focusing on. To come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never be by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. You can't be made perfect by keeping the law, because you can't keep the law perfectly. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, he says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you've not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. That's the substance of Jesus in the flesh dwelling among us. So here's the idea, the big picture. If you get nothing else, I want you to take this one thing that I'm just going to keep doing this on today. Is that everything, certainly as a church, that everything we do, we want to point to one that's true and greater. We always want it to point. So focus, worship, glory should never terminate this side of heaven. Should never. If it is, then we're focusing too much on the shadows and not the substance. It's our worship here, as good as it is, as they do in leading us. But understand, but it doesn't end here. It doesn't terminate here. It should always point us to the substance. This is a shadow. Don't focus too much on the shadow. You miss the substance. I mean, good worship is, I mean, I think we have to do everything with excellence. Don't get me wrong. I think everything has passed. I want us to do everything with excellence and to strive for that. Everything we do, no question about that. But it doesn't, that's not where we focus. That excellence should just point us to Jesus, the substance. These things, I'm not saying they're not important, but these are shadows. I mean, if you come and worship on a Sunday, corporate worship, and you leave, and the name of Jesus was never spoken, you didn't think about Jesus, there was no focus on Jesus. I mean, that's a shadow, man. You missed it. You missed it. I say that across the board, from our preschool children to our students to our classes out here to my teaching and to this worship. that I say to you as a church and church staff, that it all needs to point to him. If not, we're missing it. It's not about me. It's not about this church. God uses these things. But it's to point you to Christ, to Jesus, to the substance. Don't get hung up in the shadows. Don't be too focused on the shadows. That's what's happening here. There's a video I play every year. If you've been with me for a while, you've seen it. I play it every year because I do it purposefully, okay? I do it purposely just to remind us as a church that the Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It's a single narrative in which every story is pointing to one that is truer and greater. He is Jesus. Listen, when you start to understand the Bible in that way, you read it differently. You see it differently. And I want that for you, because that is truly the heart of the Bible. It's not just a bunch of stories. It's not disconnected. It's a single narrative. So this video, I play once a year. I want to play it today just to remind us again, everything in the Word, don't get lost in the shadows, points to one that is true and greater.
The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points beyond itself to one who is greater. The story of Adam and Eve is not just about the first man and woman. There is a true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is ascribed to us. There is a true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood that cries out, not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. All the comfortable and true and better Abraham, who answered the call of God to leave all the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void to create a new people of God. There is a true and better Isaac, the son of laughter, of grace, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us all. There is a true and better Jacob, who wrestled and took the blow of justice we deserve, so we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace that wake us up and discipline us. There is a true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. There is a true and better Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. There is a true and better rock of Moses who, struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. There is a true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his foolish friends. There is a true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. There is a true and better Esther, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly one, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. There is a true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. There is a true and better Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, and the true bread. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative that points to one person, Jesus.
So that's he's the substance, right? And so everything is pointing to him. And so the same for us here and the things that we do, that we don't want to get tripped up or captured by the shadows. Imagine if after church you're outside and the sun's shining, so you're standing out there talking and I see you out there and I walk out to you and I walk up to your shadow and I start talking to your shadow. Hey, Jeff, how are you? Good to see you. You doing good? Yeah. And my attention is focused on the shadow. My conversation is with the shadow. And Jeff's right here. The substance right here. Why are you talking to the shadow when the substance is here? Why are you focused so much on the shadow? You're missing the substance by talking to the shadow and focusing on the shadow. That's what he's talking about here. A few months ago, I bought some Under Armour running shoes. I love Under Armour. I have all kinds of Under Armour. I heard there will be Under Armour in heaven, so I'm getting ready. So I buy these Under Armour running shoes, and I ordered them online. And so after I ordered them, I printed the receipt out. On the receipt was a pretty big picture of the shoes. So I took the receipt. I set it on my desk so I could look at those shoes. I see those shoes. They're coming. I take that piece of paper in there, and I show my wife. Hey, look at these shoes right here. I got these shoes. These are nice shoes. Look at those. Woo! And I can't wait to get them. Those are going to be good. They're coming. My daughter stops by. Kayla, look. Oh, I want to show you something. These shoes are coming. I ordered these shoes. And I show her the shoes. Picture the shoes. And then my other three boys, they all make their way by the house. And I pull this out and I show each one of them. I want you to see a picture of my shoes that I ordered. Yeah, those are nice, Dad. Those are nice. Those are nice. Those are real nice. So the shoes come. I unpack them and open the box. And I look at them and better than I ever imagined. Look at these things, man. Look at that. And then I put them back in the box. I close the box. I leave them there. Karen comes home and I said, hey, look at the picture. Look at these shoes I got, man. Here's a picture of the shoes right here. These are awesome shoes. She'll say, did they come in? I said, yeah. Then why are you showing me a picture? And I just keep showing all my kids the picture of the shoes when the shoes were right there. It can be worn, can be used, can be. I mean, that's, people say, that's ridiculous. Why are you showing pictures when you have the real thing? Why are you focusing on pictures when you have the substance? And that's exactly what's happening here. They were focusing more on shadows than substance. Jesus focused more on law and rituals and all these things that should point to, but not focus on. So let's think about that. Do we do that at church? Does that happen at church sometimes? I'll give you a couple of examples. First, the Bible, for instance. Now, there's no question. You've heard me share my conviction about the Bible. That is God's word. Everything in it is true. It's the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. It's our standard for living. I mean, there's great weight on the Bible. I believe in the Bible, and I study the Bible. I've given my life to Christ and to teaching and studying his word. So I place great value on the Bible, but we have to understand, we do not worship the Bible. Don't stop there. Some people just all about Bible knowledge. I get it. In my master's, it's all about Bible knowledge. In my doctorate, it's all about Bible knowledge. You need to have all that Bible knowledge, but you understand that is not the main thing. So we don't worship the Bible. We shouldn't worship the Bible. In a sense, and don't take this in a negative way or a degrading way to God's word, but when you look at the big picture and understand, the Bible is a type of shadow that is to, as we just saw, point us to one that is true and greater. So it's not just about acquiring all this Bible knowledge, which that's good. I'm glad you want to study the Bible and you know. But you acquire that for the purpose of knowing Christ, the substance, in greater ways. If not, you're getting lost in the shadows. Focusing too much on the shadows. The Bible. We don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus. The Bible should point us to him. It doesn't terminate glory, focused heart doesn't terminate here. It goes to him. It points us to him, just like we just saw. Worship's another thing. Worship should never, I think I mentioned, worship should not terminate this side of heaven. Right? It doesn't terminate here. When we come, I mean, we shouldn't come on this campus. If you come on this campus and come and go on this campus and there's no mention of direction, encouragement, pointing to Jesus, then certainly we've failed. I failed in every building. But you should not be able to come, and this is on you as well as on me, but onto our church campus and spend an hour of worship and Bible study and leave and not have a intentional focus of Jesus, of Christ, of who he is pointing to him. Right? That's why we've gathered. If not, we're just focusing on the shadows, and that can happen in churches. Is there so much focus on the shadows that they missed the substance, the main thing? Even the church ultimately to grow you, certainly through teaching of the word, my responsibility is to teach you the word that I hope you will grow and discipleship and youth and students and all that. But understand, and I go back to, and we'll get to more of this next time, verse 19, and listen to this. And not holding fast to the head. They're talking about Jesus, right? So they were holding to the shadows. And not holding fast to the head, which is Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So what he's saying is those shadows don't grow you. They don't grow you. He's saying God is the one who grows you. And so certainly we provide the context for you to hear the word of God taught in from the platform and in these buildings in small groups. But understand that ultimately it is God that grows you. So we point back to him as the one who's going to grow you. And as you grow and as you mature, Grace Point Church didn't do that. You get that, right? I mean, I hope we provide the context for which that to happen and encouragement. But ultimately, we know that God is the one who grows. That's what it's saying right, here. Is the one who grows you. Right? It's God that does that. You personally in the church, God grows the church. From where we started with 40 people to where we are today, God did that. Ultimately, we believe that God did that. And so every week when I preach, every Sunday or wherever, whenever I'm teaching, but certainly every Sunday morning, the prayer leading into it for me, the prayer when I drive home later today, is that when you leave here, when you leave after worshiping and hearing the teaching, is that in greater ways you desire to know Jesus. You are encouraged and inspired to know him in greater ways, to pick up your Bible, to read your devotional, to listen to that music that speaks of him. That's my prayer every single week. So it's turning you to and pointing you to him. This, in a sense, is a shadow. Don't focus so much on this that you miss the substance in everything that we're doing. Paul is saying that the key to authentic spirituality is pursuing Christ first foremost. It's not the shadows, but it is ultimately pursuing Christ. The law, which they're talking about there, was given through Moses. Grace and truth realized through Jesus. He is the substance. So for you is to even look into your own heart, your own life, as I've done this week with mine. And sometimes I think unintentionally, we focus so much on the shadows that we miss the substance. But everything, as you're thinking, everything, you know, is it shadow? Are they leading you to the substance? Don't get caught and captured by the shadows. Well, in the first service, I'm going to do what I did now. I'm going to stop with time on the clock. That's a first. Thank you. You shouldn't be applauding that, April. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And here's why, because I feel like that's enough today. You know, I just feel like that's enough. That can press in, I pray, and what you saw in the video, and that truth, that takeaway, is don't be captured by the shadows, encourages you to ask yourself, am I focused on the shadows? Am I focused on the substance? He's Jesus. Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. As we just draw things to a close with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just ask you, my friend, the gospel means good news. And the good news is that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. He rose again, alive today. We celebrate it every day. We put more focus on it next week. Romans 3 says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, I have, you have, we've all messed up, we've all disobeyed God. And that's separated us from God. The Bible's clear on that. Romans chapter 3, our sin has separated us from God. There had to be a payment for our sin. Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, there's the payment, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus died on a cross for our sins. And the good news, the Bible says, if we repent of our sin and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior, we become, the Bible calls, born again. We begin living our new life in Christ, this side of heaven, and then we have the assurance of eternity in heaven one day because of our decision to have Jesus Lord and Savior. If you've never made that decision, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed in this building or watching on online, if you've never made that decision, just right where you are, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's based on what the scriptures teach. And God, He knows your heart. This prayer is just to guide you. If this is the desire of your heart, to have Him as Lord and Savior. If you desire that, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to invite you to pray just silently where you are this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I've sinned, that I've messed up. And I need a Savior. Today I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again, proving you were God. Today I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Today, I surrender all to you. I surrender all. Thank you for hearing my prayer, and thank you for saving me. In your name, I pray these things. Amen and amen. Look right up here for just a moment. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today, whether you're all watching online or whether you're in this building, you can know for sure, based on the authority of God's word, the promise of God, that Christ lives in you. And we at Grace Point Church want to come alongside you and encourage you, pray with you, walk with you. I'll be at this back door. I'd love to talk with you about that if you made that decision today. As you exit today, come out my door. I'd love to talk with you and just pray with you and encourage you if you made that decision today. If you're watching online, you made that decision. We have an email. We would love for you to send an email to ihavedecided@gmail.com. ihavedecided@gmail.com. Just let me know. Pastor Dave, today I prayed that prayer. I surrender my life to Jesus, and then I can reach back to you and we can talk with you and come alongside you as you begin your new life. It's the gospel message. It's the vision. It's for us to advance the gospel message here in Denton and beyond. And for us to continue to focus not on the shadows, but on the substance. He is Jesus. Let's stand together and sing as we continue to worship this morning.